Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
You know the door.
You're tuned in to NS.
We are logged into the show right now, keeping it going, keeping it good. All right. In the meanwhile, we're just getting it started. Today, we are talking about veterans. Veterans. And what does it mean to be a veteran? Okay. So what we're doing today is trying to get on the subject. We got a couple special guests going for you. Want to get into it a little bit today. Seeing yesterday was Veterans Day, and a lot of us, you know, we served our country, we served our nation in our own way, in our own sources, as per se. And we need to do that. So what we're going to do, first of all, we, you know, it's a humbling situation. And so I definitely would like to be able to let us get into it a little bit more. We're going to start with a little bit of a roll call and information. First, we got our brother Kuvi. Are you in the house? Brother Kuvi, you in the house? Okay, we having a little issue right now. I don't know what's going on. So please, people, stand by with us as we do what we need to do to get this going. So with that being said, you know, what we're going to do is let you know. Like I said, I apologize right now. We're dealing with some technical issues right now. And we're trying to deal with that right now on our best we can. We're doing the best we can with that right now. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Brother Kuvi, are you in the house?
There we go. I had to go on, I guess, and change the stuff back. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Hold on. We're trying to get brother Antoine to come on right now. So everybody, please stand by. We're sorry about the inconvenience. We have some technical issues right now to deal with. So everybody, keep on. But in the meanwhile, while we do that, we are going to just get everything put together put it together so everybody can be on right now. Sorry about that. We're just trying to get Brother Antoine to come on. And Okay, there's Brother Antoine. All right, big brother, are you on? Okay, somehow we lost at him. Let's try to call him again. Okay. Brother Antoine, you on?
I'm live. How you doing? This is Tone Robbins. Sorry about the delay.
All right, buddy. We on here. Everybody's getting here. Okay, so let's get down to the brass tacks of what we're talking about right now. We do have a special guest that's going to be coming in who has been a seasoned soldier for almost 40-plus years. He's been an MP as well. We have the chief of police. They might be calling in. Some people also out there will be coming in as well. So we're also going to be taking talks, you know, from talking to people from all over. We are opening up this line. So we have a big suitcase to unpack, and we're going to do it within that 1 hour, the hour select session. So please stand by and please stand with us right now. We're getting together, you know, and as we do that, we are just going to go to a quick commercial. Listen, don't forget every Tuesday and Wednesday, we have other shows. We have Kobe Speaks is speaking on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Midnight Oil that broadcasts from 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, you know, please tune in also. And we do have a new show that should be coming up really soon. We're just trying to get the details all straightened out. But we will let you know, Money Talk. So if you have that little financial problems, you're trying to make your money work for you, then please tune in. But in the meanwhile, listen to King Cam.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. Let you know we're doing anything. We're having some little technical issues. Something's been wrong with the phone line, so we are correcting it as we speak, and we're getting everybody to come on right now. Please stand by. But in the meanwhile, while I do that, everybody tell everybody what your specialty is, who you are, your name, and everything. We start from there, Washington, D.C., to the road. All right? Brother Kofi, tell me everybody who you are, what your specialty is, what you've been teaching, what kind of philosophy you are, what your specialty in education and everything like that.
Well, first of all, you know, I am somebody who believes that I'm always changing lives one mind at a time by being a voiceless and speaking the unspoken. I do that through many different avenues. I am first a human being, a son, a father, husband. I am someone, I guess we could even say, since we're talking about veterans day, and we're talking about those who serve America today, I would also make it a point to say that I am myself a veteran. I am myself somebody who was a former MP and did actually a few different things while I was in the Navy. I am a community activist. I am a pastor, even though I would not call myself a Christian, but that's a whole nother discussion, I guess. I am an author. Actually, I am a musician. Probably been, as far as the different, I guess, vocations you can say that I have, I've probably done that the longest outside of speaking. I've probably been speaking since I was about 6 years old. And yeah, my goal is to help to create community with that is kingdom-minded, that is Afrocentric, African-oriented, if you will, or Black-oriented, treating the Black diaspora well, but also making sure that we treat all people well. And, I have many different things. If you're trying to find anything that we're doing, you can find me the easiest way, whether it's radio, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Helanis, TikTok, Instagram, et cetera, to find me even at live events that we're having. Just simply Google or type in any search engine, hashtag find Kofi, FINDKOFI, and you'll be able to find out certain things that we're doing all over the place. That's a little intro into who I am.
Thank you, Kofi. How you guys doing? I'm Tone Robin. I'm going to jump right in there. Traveler, former retail banker, aspiring real estate agent at this point, working on that process. I do host the Talking Chip podcast, which is available on all platforms. My podcast pretty much is for the people, by the people, focused on things that's happening, albeit hot topics, major stories, or just relative things that people may need, discussions on mental issues, things of that nature. So, you can find the Talking Chip podcast, that's CHIT, available on all platforms. And, again, I'm Tone Robin. But I'm just going to keep it flowing. I guess, Kofi, you can kick us off at this point. As we're waiting through this technical difficulty, I don't know if brother's falling off the line as he's trying to patch things in. But,
yeah.
I know the question of the day
is
back. There you go.
All right. Well, the question of the day is, what does it mean to be a veteran? Everybody, first we're going to do the history. We go through the history and everything, what it meant from the past to the present time, and how does that, is that definition changed over the years and everything like that. So everybody, I want to get to everybody's point of view. Just jump right in and just start, let me know and fill in the gaps here. What does it mean to veteran? What is the word veteran? I mean, it's a two-syllable word, one part, two-part adjective, action, verb. What does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Break it down so the people can understand what it is, and then we're going to go into the subject and analyze it as we go through the steps. And we're going to allow it so people can understand there's different kinds of veterans. There's a veteran in the United States military. There's a veteran in the community service veteran. There's veterans of war. There's veterans of civil rights. There's veterans of fatherhood veterans. You know what I'm saying? I've heard people say, you know what, you're a veteran. I listen to your wisdom. You've been doing this a lot longer, so teach me. So break down what it means to be a veteran. Go.
Well, I guess, I would say, being a veteran, first of all, of anything, just simply saying that you've got time, you've got experience, but also that you are, in fact, part of whatever it is that you're saying you're a veteran. Like, for example, there are a lot of people who would say, I'm a veteran, and, but we can check and see. We can check and see if you were discharged, how you were discharged. We can see why you were discharged. We can see, did you make it through boot camp? Did you get kicked out of boot camp for doing something that was righteous? Some people get kicked out of the military because they decide they don't want to do something that they deem to be dishonorable. There are people who have been in and had Purple Hearts, but really got them because other people did things and they were actually cowards. So veteran doesn't necessarily mean that you're great either. It just means that you're connected to something. And you actually served in whatever it is, that being said, if we're talking about military, being a veteran in the military just simply means you were in the military. There are a lot of people. Now if somebody, especially for the people who know me, probably even on this show, I've shown a little bit of it. I'm a little different than I was, when I joined the military at 17 years old. My mind has changed on quite a few things. The way that I view self is different. The way that I view my people is different. The way that I view America is different. And, I've even told people that even by law, really, that still exists. I don't even consider myself, as Brother Malcolm used to teach us, I don't really consider myself to be an American. I definitely don't consider myself to be a Republican or a Democrat. But one thing that's very interesting, even with that happening, is that I still respect those who are willing to give their lives, even if it's for something that I'm not for, they legitimately believe, or well, most of them do, that what they're doing is honorable. And so you have to give credit where credit's due. A lot of people will talk a lot of big game, but if you're willing to put your life on the line, or if you're somebody who has put your life on the line, there are veterans out here who have literally put their minds on the line. I can remember being homeless in places like Chicago or in D.C., or I help a lot of homeless still to this day, and I was helping them even when I was homeless, and maybe being a shelter with them before I could get into housing or find somebody who would allow me to be able to rent out a room or something like that. And when you listen to them speak, you can hear a lot of them gave up their mind. You know, how many Vietnam vets are still on the streets at old age? You know, and we walk past them as if they don't matter, as if they don't do anything. If they didn't give themselves, the amount of things that they suffered, losing the limbs as well, losing the parts of their body, dealing with health issues, and people still today, you know, who are going over and coming back with loss of limbs. And the only time we want to deal with them and talk about their greatness as veterans is on one particular day or when it makes our party look good. You know, we're having that conversation and we need to have somebody come up so we can pin a medal on them or we can look good because we're going to visit the troops. Now, all of a sudden, the troops matter or the veterans matter. So, you know, I will say this much, you know, that I always have respect for those who serve still. And even when I've done, you know, things like had to do funerals and whether I was playing or doing the eulogy or, you know, just being a part of, you know, supporting other people who had lost a loved one. And even still to this day, when I see that flag come out, the flag that for me means a lot of heartache and pain and suffering and a lot of things, but because I was kind of raised on that, because I grew up, because I learned discipline, you know, in the military, I give credit for credit too, because it did a lot of things that were positive for me, I will still, you know, stand in attention, and I will still salute, not necessarily for the flag's sake, but for the sake of the person who gave their life to something that they believed was bigger than themselves. And so, you know, a veteran could be many things, but many veterans, not all veterans are pure, not all veterans are good, not all veterans are trying to help the lives of everybody, but there are many veterans out there still right now, you know, right now as people are getting ready to celebrate, people getting ready for Thanksgiving, people are, you know, going to say great things about them for one day. And, you know, I'm thankful that we do have people who decided that their lives were less important than the whole collective of us, you know, of us people, and many people who call themselves Americans, they were willing to say, hey, I want to serve, fight within myself. And so, you know, even like in the Navy, I learned honor, courage, and commitment. That was the core values, you know. And even if I felt like I didn't always see that, I was indoctrinated even with that, you know, honor, to have honor for self, courage, to be able to do things even when nobody else would do them, to be able to fight, even when nobody would fight, to, you know, and commitment. And even those who are willing to this day, when people saying crazy stuff out here, you know, oh, we need to go ahead and, you know, fight for Donald Trump to stay in, or craziness that you hear, all types of stuff like that's out there. These veterans pop up, and they were still willing to, you know, defend against any enemies, foreign and domestic. So, you know, there's a lot more, obviously, to that word. But, you know, I'm appreciative of being a veteran, if for no other reason than, you know, I was able to learn a lot of different things, and those things have shaped me and helped me to be more disciplined, even when I'm trying to do things for my own community.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Hey, thank you, brother. This is Brother Robinson chiming in. And, man, that is a great explanation. I felt a little indifferent coming into this conversation because I didn't know if I could take it there. And I'm glad that you kind of took it there because I'm conflicted. You know, as you are speaking on being a veteran, sure. I never served. But I was a part of the Air Force Junior ROTC in high school. I was offered a scholarship to attend West Point, which I declined, and for various reasons. And being a veteran being what a veteran is to me, or being a veteran, is very odd, considering that I can put a label on myself that most people that have served would. I'm a civilian, so I'm looking at it from the outside. So I've seen some of the good and some of the bad, as you've addressed of your personal experiences. And the glory in which this country, the United States of America, wants to highlight on one day of the year for Veterans Day is it's kind of heartbreaking because I myself have spent a lot of money contributing to people who are in adverse situations, albeit I don't know their personal background because I'm not reaching them at a clinical level. You know, I'm seeing them face to face on the street, and they're identifying themselves as a veteran. So for me to, invest my time with them, take an active interest in them because, you know, they have an interesting story, an interesting personality, you know, and it's no conflict of interest as far as personalities. It's weird because this is a country that wants you to honor it, as you say, respect it, and serve and stand for the flag. And when these men come home broken, men and women return home, I just don't feel that our country serves them after they've given their time, especially the ones that suffer from mental illness. And although they may be receiving some type of compensation from the United States for a lifetime, not everyone can help themselves. And I don't feel that, you know, the VA puts forth enough effort or collective effort and energy to make sure that these people don't find themselves in even more distress than they should be because of, you know, mental suffering from what they witnessed serving, and some of them, you know, holding classified information or statuses that they can't ever speak on. And so I'm conflicted in that regard. And then again, there are other veterans. It's not just the military. Of course, we have law enforcement that serve, and also there's OGs in the streets because some people take that lifestyle to heart. And again, the good and the bad on it, you know, not everyone is good. And, you know, to put a positive spin on things, I am thankful for anyone that has stepped up and served for our country. I definitely know in my family, we've given easily over 100 years of service through various relatives that have served in the United States Armed Forces, and even in law enforcement as well. We've given a substantial time. So, you know, I respect those that put their lives on the line on a daily basis and actually do it the right way. I do thank you for that. And even some of the people that choose to be street disciples, you know, all, you know, through the way of the gang, that don't lean to the negative side of the drug dealing and killing, and they're still focused on reform and trying to actually get a lot of these kids out of the streets and get them to start seeing a more positive way of living to avoid, you know, at the end of the day, losing their lives through gun violence. A majority of the time, that's where they lose their lives in the streets, such as, you know, an incident that occurred yesterday right there in Dallas on the highway, you know, where these, you know, noted entertainers, rappers, but gang-affiliated rappers, you know, chasing each other down, shooting each other in cold blood right in the middle of the highway over indifferences that they can't move beyond when their voice is moving enough because they have a movement of people that's listening to everything that they're saying. So if they could just channel that and turn it into something more positive, you know, maybe this young man who just sat in on an interview with Lil Boosie and Mike Tyson, he's 28 years old, you know, and he's a father. Now he doesn't get to live out his life and become an OG and be able to pass any wisdom on because, unfortunately, in that atmosphere, those people that are trying to be more positive or looked down upon, you know, the ones that have served time, that have made the mistakes, that are trying to come back and provide wisdom to say, hey, that way ain't the right way. But, again, they're a veteran in their own right, and, you know, that's my take on what a veteran is.
Well, I just want to jump in here right now. Everybody knows this, Brother Alfred. Let me give you a brief history. I have a training from 22 plus years in the Nation of Islam. I was a lieutenant, raised to the rank of lieutenant from private soldier from the age of 16 up until did 4 years with the Black Panthers as chairman of state. I was in charge of the whole state of Mississippi for 4 years, as well as trained officers, commanding, putting on ranks, putting protocol officer as well. And as with that training, I was able to obtain knowledge from those who are seasoned veterans, per se, in that field. I also have a history of family military tradition, which stems back all the way past my grandfather, who was served into the Navy, and as my own brother, who has served since he was young as well in the armed forces, which I'm very proud of. So with that, we keep that tradition going on. A lot of families do. I like to segue into it by giving the definition of veteran. According to the United States, according to the Webster's Dictionary, it says here, a veteran is a person who has long served or experiences in particular occupation or field. A military veteran is a person who has served and is no longer serving in a military establishment. Veterans that have served directly in combat, in war, or in future different aspects of veteran affairs, or to be able to pass wisdom. And this is the definition. So with that being said, it's being a veteran, from my understanding, because I met seasoned veterans. I met brothers in the Nation who was back in the 60s. I met celebrities who was in the Nation back in the 60s in transition. It just, you meet people who have been doing it, Black Panthers who was down there with Huey, you know, who's done that, who was Ministry of Defense, you know, people who sat down with the big generals, those in authority, got the training properly, was able to take that training and pass it on to another generation. That is a job of a veteran, to pass on that understanding. So I honor those who have served in any capacity, whether it's United States military or it's China, Russia, or Africa, or wherever you serve, to show your country support, to be able to defend where you are. Because as people in the United States, we have a constitutional right to defend our homes and abroad. We have to, and as the country, we're obligated to, in most sense. It's like an unspoken word, okay? And with that being said, you know, we need to also, you know, put pride where pride is not right now. And especially in this during time, yes, it's a once a day, but you should honor a veteran every day. When you see one, sometimes it gets tiresome. You say thank you for your service, but you know what? Sometimes that one little phrase can bring a soldier's mind to peace instead of destruction. Those little words, thank you for your service. It's showing that you didn't go and do what you did just for naught. You did it because you felt the obligation. Now, most people I would talk to will say, I served in this capacity for maybe money or security for home or for other reasons. I've heard stories where some people are saying, you know, I needed to clean up my substance abuse, so I needed the military training and the discipline to help me, you know, put me in the right path. Now, what I want to do is, you know, I just say thank you to you all, and I appreciate you all. Now, our special guest has arrived. Brother Jonathan Green is in the house. So, Brother Jonathan, I would like you to give an introduction of who you are, and what you have done for the country, and how long you have served.
Okay. Good morning. I first started back in 1977. That's when I got into the United States Air Force. From 1977 to 1994, I took the early retirement program. So I did 17 years, 6 months in the U.S. Air Force. After I got out, I went into civil service, right into civil service as a Department of Defense police officer on the island of Guam. So I served as a DOD police officer with the Navy and also with the Marines there for a period of 5 years. And I transferred within the civil service system to here in Los Angeles where I am today. And I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs as a federal police officer from 2000 to 2016. So a total almost 39 to 40 years of military and federal government service that I had participated in. And I have to say, and I look back, I enjoyed every minute. If I could ever have a chance to do it again, I would do it again. And I listened to you gentlemen, your gentlemen's points of view in terms of the gentleman who is a veteran. I thank you for your service. And everybody has their own point of view in terms of, you know, why they would serve or the goods and the bads of this country. For me personally, I have to say, it's almost like when you love your mom, you would do extra things for your mother. When you love your friend, you do extra things for your friends. For me, when you love your country, regardless of what this country has done for you, good or bad, this is the only country that I know. So therefore, I love my country. Therefore, I will serve my country, regardless of what, in terms of an African-American male and the history of my race has gone through, I believe that we should serve. And nobody can deny our race to say that we have not served from the Civil War to every type of wars that have been, we have been from the Spanish-American War to World War I, to Korean War, which our father was in. He was a Korean War veteran, to Vietnam, Persian Gulf, Afghanistan. Regardless of the brother wants or whoever wants to take a knee and say the indifferences of this country, which is true, the bottom line is that we fought or we were involved in every era of this country for the freedom of this country. So the love always for me will always stand high, regardless of what has happened. And I can speak because of the fact that I was born in 1957. I marched in the Civil Rights Movement. I marched on Blue Hill Ave in Roxbury, the Freedom House. Okay, I marched down to Martha's Vineyard. I have seen Martin Luther King twice. So I was in, my mother took me to where she was getting ready to get on the bus on 1963 to see Martin Luther King say the speech of I Have a Dream. So for me, as a veteran, I can speak on both sides of the matter. I understand the injustices, but on the other side, I love this country. I would not want to be in any other country but this country. I've been to Korea. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to many other, through other countries. And their veterans get nothing. They get nothing. But we here in this country, at least we have that opportunity to get something. But it is the choice of the veteran. And I will say that as a person who worked for the Veterans Affairs. It is the choice of the veteran. A lot of veterans choose not to want to get the help, or they want the help and still do not want to be in a regimented situation to where they want to improve themselves. So I shake my head many days when I see a veteran standing out there begging when they don't have to, because there are programs available for them to help themselves. If the old saying, mother may have, father may have, but God bless the child that got his own. And that also applies to a veteran too. So I myself, I have been blessed. I get the benefits because I choose to, or I could have not choose to. So no, you can't blame nobody but yourself for your success or your failure, regardless if you're a veteran or not. So I'm going to end this and say, it's about the love. Do you love your country? And what will you do if someone attacked this country, God forbid? Would you complain about, you know, the history of this country, which is true? Or are you going to stand up and you're going to fight for your country? Are you going to let somebody come up in your house? Or are you going to complain about what happened, whatever? Stand up and fight for your where you live. The same thing as a veteran and as myself. So I have to say, I'll end it this way. I love myself as a veteran. I love all veterans. I love this country. And, hey, God bless America. That's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Man, that was deep. I was deep, brother. I'm almost crying over here. I'm sitting here like, huh? Okay. And you know what? It's like you said, you know, you have a right. And I mean, I can pull from my perspective, and it's even heartfelt. It's hard on me too when I see that too. I give the perfect example. I was stationed in Mississippi. I originally came out to Mississippi for some other reason, but one of the brothers from Boston asked me to help the brothers in Mississippi. So when I got reactivated, I was stationed under Jackson, Mississippi, and helped the temple and everything grow, and to take my training from Massachusetts and to help them out. And I started seeing these old brothers out there just standing outside. So I started talking to them, kept going on. When I find out, one of them was the Supreme Captain's assistant back in 82 or 84, but he was homeless. Now, most people would tell you, you know, if a pioneer, and that's what we call them in the nation, we call them pioneers. We don't call them veterans. We call them pioneers, is in trouble, you're supposed to help them. This brother has gotten so far off the rails that he was homeless, doing crack, and he just like completely went to the wayside. And you want to help the brother, but you can't push that issue with them. You can say, listen, my door's open. Here's my business card. Here's my phone number. Here's my pager number. Here's my email. You can offer help, but if they're not willing to take that help, then there's nothing else you can do. And today's society is messed up because, you know, me, they consider me a pioneer. I mean, I'm retired, you know, and I do have access to some of the programs that the nation still provides as a retiree. But I still teach, and I still teach on some aspects. I go back, I see young brothers that coming in, you know, and we call them wetbacks. You know, they're still wet behind the ears, still trying to understand how to even do a prayer or how to do a drill. You know, how to follow command. You know, some don't even know their own general orders. So, you know, you sit there, you know, you do your best you can to help the next generation come along, but you even still, you try to help the other generation before you. And you can only offer what they are willing to take. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't take that time to at least offer it, then you know what? So in my eyes, this is just my own personal view, I feel that you're doing a disservice to them as well. At least offer a hand. There's an old picture of I used to see where Elijah Muhammad was in front of my brother who was sleeping on the street, and he pulled the brother up, and as you could see him pulling him up and helping the brother up, he was changing from the slums of the streets and the bottom feeders into a man of dignity. And you would see this old picture, and you're thinking, you know, that's us as a community. I love my country. I love my country. I love my nation. I love my people. And, you know, and I've had seen some worse situations in just studying law, you know, looking at the availability or what do you get if I did this? What can happen if I do that? You know, and we have a good plan here as a Constitution Declaration Independence. We have a good plan, but we ain't perfect. The plan needs to be executed properly and making sure that everybody gets the opportunity. And not to force it on nobody, you know, what you believe in or what you are about, but you giving the people the opportunity so that they can grow, and you're giving them an opportunity so that they can see, you know, this country does love you. But if you want to step back and you want to take that road of less travel, that is on you. But to keep the door open for our veterans, okay? And, you know, with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that. Yeah, I want to piggyback on that. I mean, from yourself, your perspective, and all the shared experience. Again, I'm the lone civilian amongst the men here. And, again, I want to thank everyone for their service. And I agree. Definitely there are resources there for all veterans, speaking mostly at this point on the people that are part of the armed forces and once they return home. And, again, the comparison to other nations who, you know, do limited to nothing for their veterans. America has the setup. It has the setup. But this is just an opinion from me. And try to strengthen the relationships and make it better, because again, once you understand a man that has served, and I hear that in every voice on this phone, on this show, on this programming right now, is that soldiers are so proud. They are prideful people, and it's hard to convince them to show any signs of weakness. And I totally understand that. And I just want to reiterate, I definitely know the VA has the monetary help for them, has the professional clinical help for them, but it is up to them to seek it out. But my only suggestion is this: there has to be a better contingency for those that are in severe situations when they do leave the armed branches, the armed forces. In a sense where I really wish that they can create, as we have senior living nursing homes, just create retreats for men that just don't want to return home. That way they're not in the streets. They're amongst men who can relate to them. Because a lot of them that are a challenge as far as I've seen from a mental standpoint, they don't want to talk to civilians, and they express that a lot, you know. And I've gotten that working in the bank, working in the workforce, and just hearing, "Oh, you civilians don't understand. You civilians don't understand."
And we don't. We totally do not understand the dedication, the commitment, and the bravery that you had to assert in the most demanding situations of your life possibly. So that's my only additional, you know, opinion that I would like to throw out there as far as how we can better serve them after they've served, when it's a situation where not all of them are going to willingly come into the VA, go to the mental health facilities to get their scripts and things like that to stay on course. So if we could just create camps in various states, man, I think that would be an initiative that would be commended by, you know, the entire nation as well as, you know, a lot of veterans out there.
And something else too, you know, that I think that has to be touched on, you know, because I think if we're not careful, we usually get into this place of like, oh, like, yeah, it's on you. Everything's on you. You have to do this. You have to do that. If something goes bad, you know, it's kind of, you know, you even hear a lot of motivational speaking people, you know, if we're not careful, we kind of make life into, oh, yeah, the only reason that you've had any issues is always because of you. The only reason you've had any success is always because of you. We know that individuals cannot exist without a society, and society cannot exist without an individual. And that's something I actually learned in the military first. We didn't voice it that way, but I did learn. Seriously, that you can't, I can't worry about individuals because the society is important, but I can't have a strong society. I can't have a strong brotherhood, sisterhood, brethren, et cetera. I can't have strong organization if the individuals are not strong. And I think one of the things that we have, you know, like, for example, with my own personal story, I am somebody who, as I was talking about before, you know, I dealt with being homeless, and it wasn't because I, you know, was, oh, well, he was just a bad decision. He didn't go in for a meeting. I just lost a job and couldn't get the help that I was actually supposed to be able to get pretty easily through the VA. And we forget that the VA was actually having issues at the time. Matter of fact, had to go through an overhaul not too long ago. But, you know, sometimes we forget and we just go, see, you know, you guys have done better, you should listen to this, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and I was blessed to be able to be in a position to where eventually a group connected to the VA, which was somebody who I was actually doing like an interim pastor thing before I left the organization I was at. You know, somebody there had something. He was connected to the VA. He knew me, and he used that connection to be able to help me. So it still helped me in a sense. But, you know, it's not a perfect thing, I think, like anything like was being talked about. We have to look at the inconsistencies. We have to look at being better connected. If we're going to say this thing of, you know, if for those of us who are going to do the whole, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, I mean, that's great. You know, pledge allegiance to it. But I once learned from another veteran that the easiest way to have all that before you start saying I got to pledge allegiance and make sure my colors are good and make sure that I tell you how many family members have died and you start, you know, becoming blue and red and all this stuff so we can fight against each other and do all this stuff. Why not? You know, we're so busy fighting foreign terror, but we're actually causing domestic terror because we've got to vote against each other and do this and do that or whatever. At the end of the day, somebody taught me that the most important part of the Pledge of Allegiance is the beginning and the end. If we just simply said, I pledge allegiance to liberty and justice for all, right? Like, and I think that's something that's missing in this piece. You know, we're talking about all this stuff, but can we pledge allegiance to liberty and justice for all, no matter what? If somebody did make mistakes, guess what? I know everybody was talking about you're the product of all your decisions, but guess what? Some of us made mistakes, and we had people that were there to patiently walk us through or at least give us steps, give us gain. You know, even for those who want to say they're veterans of the street, you know, there's a lot of cats out there. I was listening to, I actually did a couple videos today and talked to some people today regarding DMX. And I don't know if you guys have seen the video that's been floating around, but basically DMX, he was a soldier, so to speak, and he had a mentor that he trusted, but the mentor tore him up. And everybody always talks about DMX being on drugs, but he was doing an interview, and he actually broke down into tears because who he trusted at 14, they did whatever they did, went and robbed something, didn't kill anybody, did anything like that. And at that point, he had never done any drugs, weed, you know, whatever. He smokes weed with his mentor. Also, next thing you know, his mentor, once he smokes weed, with his mentor, he's having this weird episode, and he's like, I shouldn't feel like this or whatever. Come to find out his mentor laced it with crack. And from that point on, he's dealing with a crack cocaine addiction. Now, we could say, yeah, you're still the product of your choices because this and that, but you know where he was, the people that he looked up to, they didn't serve him. And I think, like Brother Alfred was saying, we have to be careful, even as veterans, you know. We have to be careful how we treat our veterans. I myself am a veteran, and it's nice when somebody says Happy Veterans Day, but I take it the opposite way. You know, what am I leaving behind? What is the legacy? Things I'm trying to do as far as owning homes, having land, growing food, loving others, even loving my enemies, you know, obviously not being a doormat, but even loving my enemies and showing them enough love to where a lot of them come around, like different things. What am I doing on a regular basis as a veteran that sets the example? Because my standard should be higher for myself than it should be for others. And that's why I think you have a lot of stuff. You know, that's why when I see a Vietnam veteran or an Iraqi veteran recently, you know, and I'm the one getting him more help than other people, because he will listen. But the reason he'll listen, I think what the brother said is poignant too, is that he'll listen to me, not just because I have experience, but he feels like I'll give him the benefit of being listened to, and I won't, you know, be like, he's just crazy, or you need to go to the fourth floor, or you need to go through, you know, 17 steps, you know, that we say specifically go through. Like right now, he wants to be heard. And even if the whole world is telling him he's crazy, the fact that one, you know, maybe I'm a crazy Negro for listening to him, right? But because this crazy Negro will listen to him, he's like, he will actually begin to start saying, okay, now we can go to the process. And I know when I was going through, and I wasn't, once again, I wasn't quote unquote crazy. I even hate using that term, but crazy or on drugs or made bad decisions. I was a father. I was a single father actually at the time, raising three children, and lost my job, and basically had to figure out a way to make stuff work. Because there is a part of the system that needs to be better. I'm not saying that means that we can't learn. I talked about in my experience earlier, we can still learn from the system, we can still grow, we can still be better. But I think part of the issue is into treating the system as if it has no problems, or at least not mentioning the problems as much as, hey, the system is good. Wouldn't you rather live here than anywhere else? Where it's like, actually, like I have places that it's not necessarily like that this is the only alternative, but I want this to be the best. I don't want to leave. You know, when people say, I hate when people say, if you don't like it here, you can go. See, because guess what? Like, that's a punk move. The reason I'm still here is because that I want this place to be better. And wouldn't it be a punk move of me? Wouldn't it be me leaving a man behind if I were to just say, well, I have the resources, or I have the mindset, I can go ahead and do something that others can't do, and I let them go ahead and deal with issues that I know that they're dealing with? So I think we have to do that together. And I think if we start listening maybe to the veterans of different things, the veterans of all communities, you know, not just the flag, but also the veterans maybe of the nation, the veterans of different belief systems, the veterans of the BLM community, even some veterans of the ALM community, you know, as long as we can make the main thing, we can put our stuff to the side, we can make it not about us, and we can understand that we as individuals, once again, we only benefit from society if we are individuals that want to come together, because if we're individuals arguing over our point of view, no matter what we're veterans of, then we're no longer a society, and we're veterans of being individuals rather than veterans of being strong societal members.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of that, what you were talking about just a little bit myself. I want to say something on that. The old saying, military saying, many are chosen, but few can serve, it goes into play here partially. But, and when you was talking about the DMX, I did see that video you did on segment of that. And, you know, I had to learn this long ago. Like I told you, I served, I did 22, but I did 16 in Mississippi, trying to help rebuild Mississippi up after that big, big problem happened. Back in the early 90s, Mississippi took a big hit, plus Katrina hit at the time. So I was up there trying to help rebuild Mississippi back up while I was there. So you have some people that put themselves or get placed in positions of power, and they will use their power or abuse their power. Now we can go into any, we can go into current occupancy at White House, we can go into anyways with that term. But the main thing is, as soldiers and men of action and women of action, we must be diligent and learn not to be a yes man. Follow your instructions, but we must be diligent and to know, if I am going to harm myself, is it a just situation? Am I putting myself in a position where I am helping my people, or am I putting myself in a position to hurt my people? And you cannot let nobody. That's why the rules, it used to be, if the captain gives you an order and you're a private soldier, you can say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, and you just follow the instruction. Today, because of certain aspects in certain situations, you can't deny the order and appeal, go through a court of appeal or a non-order and take your reprimand. But I wouldn't, you know, I know it can be tiresome, it can be harmful, but I'd rather take a reprimand from my superiors and knowing that I could save more lives by denying that order than following a order that is blindly given to me with knowing that it can do more harm than good. So it brings me back to what I always say. We must be analytical thinkers. If the captain tells you, run in that house and go get a toy spoon, that is not a just order. So why would you go run into a burning house just because the captain tells you to go get a toy spoon? We can't be blind soldiers. We have to be thinking men. That's why even the United States military has gotten to the point where, you know, my father used to tell me when he joined the Army, he said, all you need to do is point and shoot. If you can pull the trigger, you're in the military. Now, you have to take these tests, these certain IQ tests and ink block tests and pass algebra, and all these things got to come into play, you know. But I want to take right now, before we close out today, it's 1:58 on the time. To honor all our soldiers, I want to take at least 40 seconds right now of silence, and we're going to play taps. I want everybody to think about every soldier you've ever met in any form in military, the service of this country, of the world, or that you've known. Even if you may say you're a citizen and you serve educating, and believe it or not, a soldier is somebody that educates. That is a veteran. So you have that right of that title, because to make a mind of a soldier is to educate the civilian, to train him and turn him into that soldier. So it's the wisdom that is instilled into you that you are able to pass on to another generation that makes you a veteran in your own right. So everybody, I want you to just take a few seconds and just think about somebody you know has served. I want to say thank you to everybody coming on. Mr. Brother Green, I appreciate you once again coming on and to us today. You know, we are the NSF radio show, part of NSF radio station, and this is the team. And I want to say everybody appreciate you coming on. And it's been an honor knowing every one of you, getting to know one of you. Y'all are like family to me, and I just want to say thank you for everything you have done, for the wisdom you instilled in me, and I hope I return the favor to you. My name is Brother Alfred, and Brother Kobe and Brother Robert is in the house. We are NSF Radio Show, and we want to say thank you for tuning in today. Also, tune in this Saturday. We are doing a special George Carlin. Okay, we're taking it back to the 1970s, y'all. And trust me, you want to tune in. It's going to be a funny, wacky, craziest one. All right, you heard about it. You might have not heard the whole thing, an album, back when we were doing LPs. But guess what? We, Mass Deuce, is going to be doing his special. I don't know where he comes up with this one. He had a personal request, I heard. And the 7 dirty words you can't say on TV, the whole album, with a small segment of Amos and Andy, is going to be played. So tune in, get ready to laugh, bring your popcorn, sit down, relax, and get ready to spill milk out your nose. So, want you everybody to tune in. Also, Brother Kobe. Okay, Brother Kobe probably getting ready to go off right now. But we want to say thank you for everybody coming in. And appreciate you all for tuning in. Until next time, family.
Thank you again. Yep.
All right. I see you all next Thursday. Don't forget to bring the party.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
Oh, the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. It's your host, Brother Alfred, and co-host, Brother Kobe.
When I call, and you may not think that I care for you, when you know deep down inside.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
All right, remember, I always tell you, I may fall down, but I always get back up. I'm signing off.